Proverbs chapter 16 verse 15 talks about a way that seemeth right for a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'll read the scripture exactly the way it is. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. This is the broad path that Jesus Christ spoke about. It's a multitudes. Multitudes go to that path, to that broad path that leads to death and destruction. It's a path that leads to sorrow, anguish, emotional pains, and a widening separation from God. That is the path that most people who tread this world pass through. But we thank God because He has given us His Spirit. He has given us a hearing ear so that we can rediscover that path that leads to life. So that we can rediscover the place that leads to delight and peace. Proverbs also says that the way of the righteous is upwards. Upwards so that he may depart hell and death that is beneath. That is the path that the Lord has prepared for his people in this hour. A path upwards. A path back to his very encompassing loving presence. A path back to himself, where man can once more have his being nested in God. Or we can call it, one can have his being consciously, or realizing consciously himself operating out of God. I say this because in reality, God has never left people. God has never left us, and God would never leave us. Because we are an integral part of Him. But the Lord has furnished a way in this day so that we can get back to realizing this sacred union and live once more. Hebrews talks about a new and living way. A new and living way, entering in beyond the veil by a new and living way. Let us examine the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now these are scriptures written thousands of years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, over 2,000 years ago, or we shall say about 2,000 years ago. And Paul talked about a day that is approaching. A day that is approaching. Now that is the day of the Lord. That is the perfect day of the Lord, which the saints realize within the walls of the New Jerusalem. In the New Jerusalem, when the Apostle John saw those who were redeemed, he saw that they reigned by the light of God. They reigned by the illumination from the lamp of God. These ones do not reign by the natural light that governs this world that we live in, but they reign by that eternal light that proceeds forth from the Father's presence. They live in the countenance of God. Now Paul was talking about approaching that day. Now this was a letter I wrote hundreds of years ago. And many people still think that the day is something in the future. But I've got good news for you, brethren. Paul saw that day. See it? Paul saw the day of the Lord. And many, many other brethren over the ages have seen that perfect day of the Lord. Praise God. And our calling today is to enter in, to see that day. Hallelujah. Our calling today is to enter in beyond the veil. Because in reality, beyond the veil, the ark of God was found, and the glory of the Lord normally hovered over the mercy seat that was over the ark. It was normally in the form of a cloud, a bright cloud, which is normally referred to as the Shekinah glory. That compartment of the holies of holies was constantly illumined by the light of God, by the light of His Shekinah. Hallelujah. That eternal glory and light of the Lord. A light that never goes out. A light that is eternal. Hallelujah. That was the light, or let us say, that was the light proceeding forth from the presence of God beyond the veil. Hallelujah. And we are called to enter into that place beyond the veil, into a new day, a perfect day. Hallelujah. A day of joy, a day of peace. Hallelujah. A day of prosperity, a day of singing, a day of liberty. Hallelujah. That is what we are called to. It's a very high calling. If a man passes through this earth without tasting the day of the Lord, he has not seen life. Praise God. So Paul now, in his letter to the Hebrews in chapter 10, which we just read, was actually, he gave them a brief summary of the tabernacle of God. Like we know, the tabernacle of God is a structure that Moses constructed. The tabernacle and its specifications was given to Moses upon Mount Sinai. God told Moses, construct this tabernacle for me so that I may dwell among my people. And it was the presence in that tabernacle that sustained the Israelites throughout their days in the wilderness. Hallelujah. It was the glory of the presence of the Lord that provided their bread, their water, their healing, that preserved them and brought them to an expected end. Reality, God took them into a new day. God took them through that path, which we call today the new and living way. They had to go into the, enter into the promised land by a way that the Lord furnished for them. It was the leading of the cloud by day and the fire by night that brought them into the promised land. It was bread from above that sustained them and caused their increase while in the wilderness. It was deep waters from the rocks that refreshing them along the way to the promised land. It was the blood of the lamb in Egypt that gave them a passport to escape the bondage of Pharaoh. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Paul talks about steps. Steps. Paul recognized that the tabernacle was all about steps, a new and living way. A way that the Spirit of God is, you know, demonstrating to us on how to enter in beyond the veil. How to enter into that perfect day of the Lord. Something that is present now. Something that is available for us right now. It's not a storybook. It's not something that you keep reciting and preaching day and night. No. It's a new way to live by. It is the way of the Lord. The way of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So Paul talks about the sprinkling, you know, of our hearts from an evil conscience. You see it? We get the sprinkling from the blood that was from the first furniture in the outer court. That is the sprinkling of the blood that justifies us before the Father eternally. Hallelujah. So we have boldness to wake up today and say, Father, here I come. It's not something for tomorrow. Hallelujah. You don't need to wait for some kind of transformation in your life. A sudden transformation in your life to say, Father, here I come. The moment is now to receive the blood daily. It's a continuous process. Paul says, in him we have forgiveness of his sin. In him we have forgiveness of sins. It's a continuous process. Accept the blood and say, Father, here I come. Yesterday is gone, today is now. I am forgiven, I stand forgiven. Hallelujah. The angel of death passes over. And I am not worthy of death anymore, but rather, I am worthy of life. So let us, like Paul says, let us draw near with a heart sprinkled by the blood on the altar. And he says, he further says that, and our bodies washed with pure water, which is the next furniture, which was in the outer court. See it? Which was the bronze laver that contained the water. Praise God. Washing our bodies with the pure water of the world is actually done today by baptism. Baptism by faith. So that it's no longer I, but Christ the Spirit. Christ the Son of God, who's from the beginning, who lives in me. Praise God. And as we do that, we now begin to walk by faith, by that understanding that comes from the seven spirits of God, represented by the seven candlesticks. Oh, praise God. We begin to receive the Spirit of God. We begin to walk by the light of the Spirit. No more by that light that was without the tabernacle. It's inner light. It's light that is hidden from this world. That is why from without the tabernacle in the outer court, hallelujah, nobody could actually behold the seven candlesticks burning with seven flames of fire. These are the seven flames of fire sent to redeem man, to give man wisdom and understanding, so that you can now walk once more with the mind of Christ. You can walk once more with the intelligence of Christ, no more with the intelligence of man. Because like we read, the ways of man lead to what? To death. The ways of man, the wisdom of man, leads to misery. It leads to hell. It further separates you from anything that God is. That is the carnal mind. See, that is the wisdom that is found without the tabernacle. But we thank God for the new and living way. Hallelujah. A new and living way has He prepared for us, so that we can walk now by the illumination that comes from the light of God. We can walk after the wisdom that comes from the light of God. The Spirit of God will lead you into all things. The Spirit of God will teach you all things. He will show you things to come. He will bring remembrance to you. What remembrance is He bringing to us? Remembrance of your part in God. Remembrance of your place in the presence of God. Remembrance of your inheritance in light. Remembrance of your eternal inheritance. Remembrance of your seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It brings a remembrance, an awakening. Hallelujah. He leads you to the path by that new and living way back into the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if those seven candlesticks were not there in the tabernacle, there is no way, because that inner tabernacle would be dark. Completely dark, because it had very thick layers of animal skin over it, you know, so that no ray, no iota of ray of sun could penetrate that tabernacle. So the light of the inner tabernacle was, of the first part of the tabernacle called the holy place, was from the golden candlesticks. Without that light, there is no way you can find your way forward. There is no way you can move forward into the presence of the Lord. That's why the psalmist prays that the Father, that God should illumine his paths. See it? That God should send this light to lead him back to the place of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. We need listening ears. We need to sit down on the table to eat bread. Hallelujah. Fellowship. Eat the manna of the Lord upon the table. Eat the bread of the Lord upon the table. Hallelujah. This was what God was demonstrating as the, you know, the Israelites got their daily bread from the manna while they were in the wilderness. Every morning they had their manna. Every evening they had their manna. Give us this day our daily bread. It's spiritual bread. It's inspiration from the Almighty. It's bread that causes increase in the inner man. A bread that causes increase in the spiritual man. Bread that causes increase in Christ in you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. That represented also the table, the golden table that was in the tabernacle, in the holy place. So we feed on that bread continuously, meditating, receiving for inspiration from above. Hallelujah. And never desiring the delicacies of Egypt outside, of the world behind. See it? Without wavering. Paul says without wavering, looking forward, not going back. Oh, hallelujah. Admonishing ourselves daily. Stirring ourselves daily in fellowship. Continuity in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And looking forward to that day. Increasing in righteousness. Increasing in oneness. In brotherly kindness. In love. Realizing that we are one of members of each other. Don't ever get discouraged when things don't go right. Don't ever get discouraged when you get angry. Don't ever get discouraged when it seems at times that things are not working. That is the wilderness experience. See, there's a tendency at times when things you feel like you're not progressing, you get depressed and you want to go back. Don't try it. Don't try it. Because if you try it, you just find yourself going around in circles and you just have to come back to that same place that you left after many years. Hallelujah. Once you've tasted of the good word of the Lord, once you've tasted of the love of God, you can't turn your back on God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So a new and living way is the way of the Spirit. Praise God. It's a heavenly way. It's a way that is hidden from the eyes of the men of this world. Hallelujah. The things in the tabernacle were hidden from the world outside. The happenings to the Israelites in the wilderness was hidden from the world outside. Nobody ever understood how the Israelites survived in the wilderness. See it? Nobody saw the manna that came down from heaven by in the morning. And nobody saw the waters that gushed out of the rock. Nobody saw anything. Nobody saw the clouds over them. Nobody saw the pillars of fire over them. It's all secret workings. Praise God. So we shouldn't get bothered when people don't understand what you are doing. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. To you, it has been given entrance into God's kingdom. To you, has been given, you know, access by this new and living way into God's presence. So if you have the revelation, you receive it and enter in boldly. Oh, hallelujah. Receive this revelation and go in boldly and receive that thing that the Lord has reserved for you from the foundation of the world. It is now, brethren. Now. Hallelujah. Now. Wherever you are, stand your ground and begin that progress into the presence of God by this new and living way. New life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Those who walk in the Spirit begin to live by the power of the Lord. They begin to live strictly by the counsel of the Lord. They begin to live strictly in relation to the invisible presence of the Father. Hallelujah. They no more longer live after the flesh. They no longer live after the natural. That is why Jesus Christ says, those of you that have left all to follow me, you have to live your life upon the earth. You have to live that life, that old life after the flesh. You have to live that old life that goes after the wisdom of this age and begin to walk in relation to the heavenly. Praise God. In Paul's letter to Timothy, I'm going to read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and fight the good fight of faith lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, which quickeneth all things, praise God, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Hallelujah. How many of us realize that we are about to be quickened? We are being quickened. Hallelujah. That wisdom of the Lord, that part of the Lord, that new and living way is all about a quickening, an awakening. Hallelujah. God quickens the dead. This is the power of the resurrection that works in the saint, in those who believe, in those who have ears to hear. It's the power of the resurrection that causes you to awaken from the realm of the dead, from the realm where the dentures live in ignorance of God's invisible kingdom, of God's marvelous presence, of the riches in glory reserved for them from the foundation of the world. The Gentiles live in ignorance of that. They live in relation to carnality, to vanity, to dust, to things that are for the occasion, the things that pass away, things that look as though they are, but they are not. And they pierce themselves with sorrows and pains. Because they are veiled from the truth. They are dead in their sins and trespasses. They are dead in their human sense of life. But the Father is quickening us now, right now, by His Spirit. Hallelujah. He's giving us understanding. Hallelujah. He's causing our soul to be elevated from the realm of death. The light is leading the soul away from the flesh, from the realm of the dust, back into His paradise, back into His presence, back into the Spirit. So that the Spirit and the soul can once more experience that marriage, that union that they had with God from the foundation of the world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Flee ungodliness. Flee unrighteousness. And lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on that life that is beyond the veil. Lay hold on that, you know, feeling that Jesus Christ has prepared for us. For He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be. It's not tomorrow when you die, it's right now. It's not tomorrow when something happens, when all the sons of God become, you know, become transformed. No. If you hear it now, enter in now. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, when you read this scripture, there's a tendency to think that some kind of event, external event, will happen for the sin of the whole world. See, but what people do not realize is that Christ can never be recognized in this world. See, He comes in and He goes out without being recognized. He manifests Himself from generation to generation in the people. Praise God. Never expect signs. Never expect that all the brethren will suddenly wake up one day and they'll manifest as sons of God. There's no such thing. If you receive the message right now, your spirit awake where you are. If you be in America, in Canada, in America, in London, wherever you are, awake right now. And enter right now into your rest. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Lay hold on that eternal life. Lay hold on that real life. Hallelujah. Lay hold on that thing that is beyond the veil. That consolation that is beyond the veil. Our consolation is beyond the veil. Not in this world. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, I'm going to read further. 1 Timothy chapter 6. From verse 14. I'm going further. that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus, which in his times he will show who is the blessed and holy potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who wholly has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor, power, and power everlasting. Amen. Amen. Are you listening there? Hold that commandment. What commandment? What commandment are we to hold on to? What commandment are we to hold on to? You see, we must understand that the Father is commanding his sons to come out of the darkness, and I will receive you unto me as a father and, you know, as a God. I shall receive you as sons and daughters. Come out from among them. Come out from the realm of lies. I have given you Christ Jesus as a sample, as a standard. I am revealing Christ Jesus to you today as your true self, the way you truly are in my sight from the foundation of the world. And God says, come out from among them and awaken in Christ. Come out from among them and begin to live as he is. Awaken to the reality that you are him and he is you. That is your image. The will of God is that all men should see Christ. The will of all men is that all men, of God is that all men should see Christ. Recognize him as their identity. And by so doing, they shall live. You must first of all perceive him in the spirit. Contemplate that glory. Contemplate yourself in him. Look at the mirror of the world and you see Christ. And conform yourself to that image. That is the will of God. Because the way you are is the way he is. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The will of God is that all men should hear him and conform unto him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. See it. Christ Jesus did not come to make a better way. How do I say it? He did not come to better the old ways. He did not come to better the old ways of men, but rather he came to do away with the old way and to introduce a new and living way. And that new and living way is by Christ. Because the Spirit of God is here to testify of Christ in you. The Spirit of God is here to awaken you from the illusion of your carnal identity, which is the miry clay, which is the dust, to awaken you back into the image of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. That is the commandment we are to keep. The commandment is that all men should conform to Christ. Let go of the lie and hold on to truth. That is the will of God. So Paul says, keep the commandment, you know, without spot, without wrinkle, unblemished, you know, unrebukable, until the appearing of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The appearing of Christ Jesus is an activity within us. See it? His appearing is within us. Some of us have experienced it. Many others are experiencing it, and many others will still experience it. His coming is within us. The appearing of the Son of Man is the manifestation of the real you, is the unveiling of the real you, so that you can walk in the majesty that the Father designed for you from the foundation of the world. Praise God. In the day of his appearing, or rather in the day of your full awareness, of your full awakening, you begin to discover yourself in a realm of unlimited blessings. Oh, hallelujah. You begin to discover yourself ruling and reigning in pleasures. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. He only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach. No man can approach that thing. No man can see it. No man can understand this thing. Only for those to whom it is given. Oh, praise God. So we must let go of our humanity if we want to receive of that glory of God. Hallelujah. Paul further says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusting on certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us freely, hallelujah, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to retribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life. Timothy, keep that which is committed in thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Hallelujah. Now let's stop here. Now these are some things that, you know, baffle the world. We just read Paul talked about, you know, two type of riches. Hallelujah. Paul tells Timothy in his letter, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusting on certain riches. Then now, Paul now further says, God has blessed him and he has blessed them, that is the believers, richly with all things. What is Paul talking about? Is he contradicting himself? Oh, praise God. You see, Paul here is already defining two personalities. Two men. There's one, the man of the flesh, and there's one, the man of the spirit. See, the man of the flesh is the man of the world, is the ungodly man. Then you have the man of the spirit, which is Christ, which is the man from heaven, which is the one in the image and the likeness of God, which is the one that lives eternally. Oh, hallelujah. You see it? Paul talks about those who are rich in this world. See, those are those who have carried on in the flesh, carrying on living a life of their own after the outer, and have failed to recognize or receive the revelation of Christ within them. They failed to receive the revelation of the Spirit. These are the ones that cling to the outer material world, which is actually all embedded in outer darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the things that we see around us are all temporal. They pass away. See, that life you live as a human being is all temporal. It's for the occasion. And it will pass away. That is not your life. Praise God. See, but if you can get the revelation of Christ, if you can get the revelation of immortality, if you can get the revelation of the new and living way beyond the veil, life beyond the veil of human reasoning, beyond the veil of the natural, into the supernatural, into the eternal, and you're into God. Because anything that is eternal is God. Anything that is what eternal is God. Praise God. And we are called into the eternal. By this new and living way, we are called to lay hold on that life beyond the veil, where we live by the Shekinah glory, where we live by the illumination of the Almighty God. The man of the Spirit is richly blessed with all things. Hallelujah. The man of the Spirit owns all things, inherits all things. That's why it says, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. And the poor is not got something to do with it. It talks about your state of being. The poor is the man of the Spirit. He is the one that inherits all things. He is the one that is richly blessed with all things. He's not of this world, but it's of another world, and a realm, a dimension, a world that is in eternity in God. That is the man of the Spirit. Paul says that God has blessed us richly with all things. See it? Yet on the other hand, he says, mind those who are rich in this world, not to be haughty, not to put their trust in uncertain riches. Don't put your trust in your life, in your strength, in your human capacity. Don't put your trust in your bank accounts. Don't put your trust in your families. Don't put your trust in, you know, all your things that you've, you know, sowed to in this world. There are certain riches. They will pass away. They fade away. Or you leave them. But there's one thing that can never leave you. And that is what we should lay hold on. That is the eternal life of God. For when we have God, we have all things. Jesus Christ says that everything that the Father has is mine. And we know that the gold and the silver and everything that is of God, is of this world, belongs to God. Jesus Christ says everything that the Father has is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills is mine. Yet I'm sure Jesus Christ didn't have a bank account. Oh, hallelujah. A new and living way, a way of the Spirit. Living by the power of God. Living by trusting in the name of the Lord. Living in communion with the brethren. Keeping yourself unspotted by this, from this outer world of, you know, conflicts, greed, and all kind of things we see on the outside. It's all about gaining the world. The mentality of this world, the rich man, the rich man, the man of the flesh, the mentality of this world is to gain this world. He thinks that he can gain something for his glory. He thinks that he can add to something in himself by gaining this material world. But he's a fool because he does not realize that the material world on its own does not exist. Hallelujah. That which exists is the force behind the material world. Hallelujah. That which exists is that which projects this natural world, which is the light of God, which is the glory of God, which is the word of God. That is our inheritance. We are called to that. A new and living way. Walking in the Spirit. Exercising ourselves in the Spirit. Recognizing this mystery and continuing in this mystery. It's something for now. It's not something that we are called to preach, but it's something we are called to experience and enter and enjoy. A new and living way. A realm of joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. A realm where your soul will not, you know the causes of humanity anymore. The bitterness, the hate, the angers. And all those conduct that we see outside, pain and anguish, will be no more. But it's a day of perfect peace in God. A day of life. Hallelujah. A day of pleasures. This is the new and living way we are called to partake of. Hallelujah. A new and living way that leads us ever to the presence of God. That leads us to, you know, that veil, that place beyond the veil. That leads us to that glory cloud that hovered over the, you know, the ark of God. That glory cloud that was over the mercy seat that was over the ark of God. That was the Shekinah glory of God. That was the place Jesus was headed. That is the place he tells, follow me. He says, follow me into the glory cloud that is beyond the veil. Follow me into the Shekinah glory of God. And join the many brethren that are in that cloud. And there shall you be forever in the Lord, with the Lord, as the Lord, in one with the Lord. There's no greater privilege. Oh, hallelujah. Stir up ourselves. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He can never forsake. He can never leave or forsake us. To God be all the glory. Amen.